Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A good morning to you, my friends, on once again this bright and cloudy morning. When are we going to see the sun again? Longest June gloom that started in April I can remember. How about you? Okay, despite that, you're all interested in your health. Today's show, I want you to make a connection, a deeper connection. So you can't get this on YouTube. A deeper connection between the word inflammation and your disease, inflammation and your symptom. Most people, in my experience, when they complain about their problems, their health concerns, their symptoms, if you tell them it's all about the inflammatory process, they don't quite make the connection. We have to change that. In fact, if we could change that, we'd understand how all the diseases and symptoms join together into one big concern. But it's complicated. Now, Time magazine took a shot at this. It went over everybody's head, but they took a shot at it. Time magazine, a number of years ago, and periodically publishes on their cover, Inflammation, the Silent Killer. And it's this great picture of the inflammatory process and pointing out that all the diseases it's behind and so on and so forth. And yet, think about it. In your average hospital every day, if you walked in and said, don't you think my tendency towards cardiovascular disease or towards cancer or towards autoimmune disease or towards low back pain, don't you think if you went into each specialty in each hospital throughout the world today, where people walk in and ask for help, do you think the doctors are telling you, look, if you want to get out of this, if you want to get rid of your back pain, if you don't want that impending joint replacement, if you never want to see a cancerous day, if you want to see a tumor dissolve itself, if you want to reverse your heart disease, if you want to get out of autoimmunism, then you've got to go into your personal profile, look at what drives your inflammatory process, and turn it around and shut it off and kill it. If we were saying that, and if the public were demanding that, and if we were understanding that, then I wouldn't have to do this show. So I want to point out the difference between saying a word like inflammation. You can put 25 doctors in a room and say inflammation, and they'll nod their head complacently, and they'll talk as if, yes, I understand, of course, inflammation drives disease. But then watch them go work with it, with you, John Q. Public. And that's where it all falls apart. And that's why, once again, I'm devoted to this show. You've got to bring it to them, because they're not going to bring it to you. Your average medical doctor, if not your average holistic practitioner, is strapped down by rules and regulations and all sorts of things that don't allow a essential perspective to get to you. The verbiage we get, the words we get, but we don't know how to put them together. So let's do that together today. First of all, I want you to picture the cell, the human cell. So what I want to get into now is how the inflammatory process drives your disease. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whether your concern is living forever and anti-aging and staying beautiful when you're 90 and all these things, or whether or not you're with terminal illness, it's the same thing. It's just a matter of how much the inflammatory process has ravaged you. So I want you to picture a cell. Your typical cell, it's got a membrane, it looks like a grape. We've got the grape with the skin, which is the membrane, And then inside, we've got the gush, all the mushy stuff. And that in a cell is the protoplasm, or the cytoplasm, or the cytosol. And in the core, where we have the seed of the grape, you've got the DNA, the chromosomes hanging together, the genes hanging together, the DNA, the nucleotide sequences. A cell is a grape. And inside that cell are little substations called organelles, and each of them have a job to do. And if each cell does its job specific to its organ, you function beautifully. Now, we coined a word years ago called free radicals. Free radicals. And do we really understand what they are? Well, we know that free radicals are neutralized by antioxidants. And we know free radicals bad, antioxidants good. And then we've got the ORAC tables. In other words, the ways we assess the power of a free radical, stating that, say, cacao and turmeric are, they have more free radical, kills more of the bad guys than a banana does. So we understand the word free radical. It neutralizes, it's neutralized by antioxidants, and those antioxidants and those antioxidants are what really you've got to stack up so these free radicals don't destroy your cell, and so you live on merrily and you never get sick. Now, we get that. And yet, here's the point. When people are in disease states, when people are symptomatic, you can stuff free radicals down their throat till kingdom come from the best sources in the world, and they're of limited value. I mean, they help. They help like a little bit. So about the most we hit the public with, about the most we hit the public with was inflammation, bad. Free radicals, bad. Antioxidants, good. Now, when you throw it out there, and whether you're putting those antioxidants in from vitamin C to vitamin E to all the good products, all the good free radical quenching compounds found in citrus, found in berries, found in your superfoods, kai berries and whatnot. The problem is, if you go and you watch people ingest these things at high doses, you don't see as much free radical quenching. You don't see the inflammatory processes slowing down the way you'd like to. There's too much of a gap between what we've given the public and what we actually see in reality when we, once again, the Medici chant, apply the herb or the superfood to the problem and have to stop with a first base solution. My solution to you, as always, is you got to understand more deeply what this process is about. So let's continue. And when this show bell rings today, hopefully you'll understand how to move your health ball, because you put together complex topics in a simple way. And that's what we should be giving the public. Complex topics whittled down into simple perspectives. And we can do that. Great teachers always did that, right? Two math classes. One with a guy that made simple things difficult, and the other class that made complicated things simple. And that was always the teacher you wanted, the one that took the complicated things and made them simple enough. Which doesn't mean you don't have to think and work and repeat and recite, but it's laid down in a way that you can understand. And that's what we don't take the time to do. I'll be chanting this chant for many years to come. I don't think the public is stupid. I think the public is grossly undereducated. I think because we live in a busy world, we've decided that we don't have to put health and the concepts behind maintaining health on the priority list, on the list with rent and food and this and that. We put it on the other list with vacations and detailing the car and the gardener and the nails. We even put it on a third list. It's lower than the nails. And so what we haven't done as a society yet is really, really decide to understand things conceptually. Okay, so you want me to get to the show more deeply? Here we go. That grape becomes ravaged by these electron-deficient animals we call free radicals. Everything bad's a free radical. Pesticides, petrochemicals, bad air, bad water, heavy metals, parasites, viruses, you name it. If it's on the bad list, it's a free radical because it goes into the cell and it looks to react chemically with bits of your cell. It's going to start at the membrane. If your membrane succumbs, if your membrane breaks down, and of course, I want you to keep in mind that this scenario I'm going to paint is always happening. It's going on all the time, full time, at the speed of light and beyond the speed of light. The body is in a constant, everlasting balance, a seesaw between free radical damage and the body's ability to repair. Very, very, very important to know that this is you, this is me, this is everybody. So we're talking about something so profoundly fundamental to your health that you've got to reach deep and integrate it. So, the body is ravaged by these radicals, and ultimately, the free radicals get the edge on the antioxidants. And what happens is, a hole is punched in the membrane of the cell. Now, that membrane keeps the guts of the cell inside. And when that hole is punched, the guts spill out into, my regular listeners know this, the intercellular space, the space between the cells, also called the extracellular space. In that extracellular space go the guts of the grape, the guts of the cell. The cytoplasm squirts out, and along comes any one of two gazillion immune system cells, macrophages, lymphocytes, killer T cells, natural killer cells, any one of a horde of different immune system cells see the guts of the cell in the intercellular space and attack it. They react chemically with it. Once the immune system reacts chemically with the guts of the cell, a whistle blows and a mob scene occurs. And this is the beginning of dilation of blood vessels, of swelling, of redness, of all these things that you, John Q. Public, understand as inflammation. But what you don't keep in mind, that this process is going on continually. You think of it as a bug bite. You think of it as a snake bite. You think of it as a sprained ankle. It's way beyond that. What's relevant to you today is way beyond that. What's relevant to you today is that this is going on nonstop, relentlessly at different levels in all of us, and we're always at different levels of being able to reverse it. On that basis, this is important to understand. I'm not being redundant. What I'm being is incredibly emphatic about the fact that I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, my joints hurt. You're going to say my heart hurts. You're going to say my kidneys are failing. You're going to say you have gallstones. You're going to say you have a headache. And then you're going to say, what do I do about it? When I'm already telling you. Take the composite of you, the profile of you, and eliminate the inflammatory processes. And what you're going to do naturally, because you're human, is overlook that. And you're going to say, yeah, but what do I do for my sprained ankle or my low back pain? You're going to take a fundamentally driving universal concept and you're going to try to get results by reducing it. Well, to what herb do I take for my neck pain? Or what adjustment do I do on my neck for my headache? And that's where you lose. If you are locked into the chronic cyclic agony of some sort of symptom, disease, health concern, if something's breaking down faster than it's building up, you have to understand your return to health is based on concepts like what I'm giving you today. This is what's essentially different. And when I say integration, I'm not talking about doing everything. I'm talking about understanding concepts and then understanding how to layer the approach specific to you. But you can't do that if you don't understand the fundamentals. We're trying to throw the punch without doing the footwork is effectively what I keep harping on. We're doing this across the board in America as it relates to nutrition and what we call alternative medicine. Because we're trying to fit the other model. The other model works in your hospital. Go in, get it cut. Go in, get it medicated. That works. It's not that it doesn't work. It doesn't work all the time. But where it works, it really works. And be thankful we have it. But what alternative medicine tried to do is apply that model to people with chronic illness and health concerns. And when you've got that kind of thing going on, you can't apply that model. Let's continue. So what happens then when the guts of the cell spill out and the immune system attacks it? Well, as always, get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc. And we're having our pictures emerge now, a little late, but they're there. And what you want to note, what you want to see, is a picture of fibrin, which isn't up yet, but get there anyway. Fibrin is this web. It's this gluey, spidery material that your fibroblasts make, one of your immune system cells. And it spins this web in between the cells. That's in response to the inflammatory process. Now, once you've got that, the cells subsequent to that are looking out into the intercellular space and seeing nothing but a sewer system. Now, the key to understand is this is going on locally and systemically, meaning this is going on throughout your entire body. But in addition to that, this is going on more in some places and less in other places. So when we talk about fibrin deposition, this spidery web wrapping itself into different body parts, you have to understand that although this is systemic, it can also be localized into specific areas. So who has this concern? Everyone has this concern. Because there is always this balance between free radical damage caused by free radicals that are just the bad list and the body's ability to neutralize the free radicals to reduce the immune response in between the cells. Always going on. But you have to keep in mind is in certain body parts, maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's your head. Maybe it's your low back. Maybe it's your feet. Maybe it's your pancreas. Maybe it's your intestinal tract. You see? It can be in very, very, very different places throughout your body, depending on who you are. And you got to keep that in mind. But this process is not systemic, not only systemic, it's also localized. You have to remember that, and I'll bring that to you in a more comprehensive, relevant statement later. So now you're wrapped in this fibrous sheath that we call fibrin. If you understand this, when we go to what to do about it before the show is over, now you'll get the gravity of the situation. So you've got this fibrous sheath, and what's it doing? Well, where is it? It's between every cell of every organ. And when it hits critical mass, when it hits a point at which you can no longer reverse it, in other words, when it hits a point where over the weeks and months, the fibrin just keeps building up and building up and building up, the cell looks out into the intercellular space, into its neighborhood, and it says, this is absolutely disgusting. And I hope some of you know what's coming. One of three things is going to occur. The cell is going to kill itself because it doesn't like its neighborhood. That's called apoptosis. Or the cell is going to become senescent, which is senile. It just doesn't work. Or the cell's going to do something absolutely fascinating. It's going to try to reproduce itself, to be reborn, to get out of its level. It's, in a sense, trying to go to heaven. It's enraged. It's annoyed. It's ballistic. It's insane, maybe. But that cell looking out into the terrain there, its neighborhood, is trying to rebirth itself by engaging a replication cycle with good intention, but nonetheless a malevolent end. A good intention becoming a very bad end. And that's an uncontrolled replication cycle that we call anaplasia, and really what we call malignancy. And thus you grow a tumor. So when that cell looks out into the intracellular space, it sees senescence, apoptosis, or it chooses malignancy. Now what it's going to do, that's a whole other story that's very related to the genetics of the person. And where this occurs is related to the genetics of the person. And where this occurs is related to the physical traumas the person sustained. And where this occurs, does it occur in your head? Does it occur in your back? Does it occur in your liver? Does it occur in your pancreas? Does it occur in your eyes or your ears? Where the inflammatory process ultimately ravages you is a structural issue, is an emotional issue, is where you have physical scars, is where your body has compressed organ systems due to flexibility issues. So this inflammatory process is directed according to other variables. And where the cell finally goes ballistic, apoptotic, senescent, or malignant, well, that's where the genes come in. Now, if you could get that, you could relax behind every disease known to man, and you could start working towards healing. You could start working towards reversing this. You could start working towards, changing this around. You wouldn't fret over the fact that, well, you've got a problem that doesn't seem like drugs and surgery and even nutrition could fix it. All right, I'm having a little tech problem. Just give me a second here. My tech is truly asleep today. I apologize. One second. So, the inflammatory process will create three choices in the cell. Now, once you understand that, you do have to go to your profile and what drives your inflammation. You have to understand that, in fact, the anti-inflammatory process is not simply a matter of taking antioxidants. If it was, there'd be no disease. What you have to do, rather than focus on the supplement, focus on the herb. What you have to do is effectively go into the physiological systems that are breaking down. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll give you one example. If you're on the website, go to picture number 13. That's straighttalk.cc. If not, simply imagine the inside of the intestinal tract. The inside of the intestinal tract, of that 35 feet of intestinal tract, is a 35-foot string of finger-like projections called intestinal villi. And these intestinal villi absorb your food. Now, we're getting to inflammation. That 35 feet of villi, when you challenge them too much, when they don't have the nervous system working for them, when they don't have the brain-gut connection working for them, In fact, when the villi and their ability to absorb elegantly does not meet the demand placed upon the intestine based on the food you eat, how you digest it, the villi inflame. Now, 80% of our immune system lives in the intestinal tract. 80% of it lives in the intestinal tract. And that 80% is there for a reason, and the reason is that's where all the inflammation is. Now, if you can really get this, you can understand that the guy with low back pain, the guy with the brain tumor, the woman with the autoimmune disease, ought to be thinking about inflammation. And rather than looking to anti-inflammatory herbs, not that that's a very bad choice, but you've got to go into those systems. And the inflammatory process is owned by the digestive system. The first place you kill inflammation is by killing inflammation in the GI tract. Now, what does that mean to you? Again, you have to experience and create relationship with your digestion in a way where you feel, F-E-E-L, feel the elegance through that process. That's key. You have to feel the elegance of that process. And that's an evolution. That's a maturation. That's something that you have to evolve to over time. So I'm going to introduce a word, sympathetic dominance. My listeners know what that means. Sympathetic dominance. Sympathetic dominance means that you can't do this. Sympathetic dominance, meaning that the nervous system that speeds you up, that stresses the organ, that makes the organ work harder, that doesn't give the organ time to repair because it's telling the organ to pump out the work. The sympathetic dominant nervous system is the slave driver to the body. When you're under stress, when you're working overtime, when you're relentlessly pursuing an objective at the expense of your health, you're in a sympathetic dominant mode. And when you talk about integrity in the small intestine, relaxed, absorptive villi, free of an inflammatory process brought about by inefficient digestion, if you're in sympathetic dominance or out of autonomic balance, you're not going to have it. And if you're not having it, where you put 80% of your immune system is going to be throwing chemicals all around your gut and your blood and your brain that create an inflammatory state. Now let's put this together. You with back pain, you with a tumor, you with heart disease, you with an autoimmune disease, you with ulcerative colitis, you with Crohn's, you with biliary problems. And we could keep going. So let's put this together. When you walk in and say, "Doctor, doctor, my back hurts, my heart hurts, I've got a lump growing," why wouldn't the doctor tell you over 6 months, we're going to put you in an inflammatory free state by working the systems in your body? The digestive tract is a system. But what we've got predominantly are medical doctors who don't get this. And if they do, they don't do anything about it. And then we have holistic practitioners, too many, who are going to lay down a therapy. And it can be an herbal therapy or it can be a physical therapy. And they're both, well, they've got their place. But my point to you forever shall be, you have to understand in your profile where you're failing this process systematically, digestion being one system. All right. You're getting it. Go to the website, Straight Talk DCC. Pardon the tech problems this morning. People are not perfect. Okay. You should have 28 pictures up. If you can get to it, go. I can refer to some of these wonderful pictures I put on because a picture is worth 1,000 words. I will be expanding shortly into other networks. I already am. And we're going to try this picture thing. Some of you have to listen because you're in the car. I hope there's enough words. Some of you can get to the computer. If you can, a picture's worth a thousand words. Guided pictorial interpretations. I think it's the best way to roll, don't you? Okay. One system we've got to keep our eye on is the digestive system. How about the adrenal cortex, your adrenals? Why the adrenals? Why if you come in with a cancer? Why if you come in with heart disease? Why if you're going senile? Why if you have muscular pain? Why if you have a muscle spasm? Why if you have a colitis? Why if you have Crohn's disease? Why if you have an autoimmune disease? Should we talk to you about the adrenals? Because the adrenals secrete a hormone called cortisol. And that cortisol is the body's prednisone. What percent each day of all medical conditions are treated by prednisone? Of course. Most of you in the audience today have been given prednisone at one time or another for something, or suggested a shot of cortisone or a prednisone pill. That's synthetic cortisol, or a steroid cream, a cortisol cream. In all three events, we have something that we regularly give people to get them out of acute inflammatory problems. Specifically, pain. Pain is just the inflammatory process and the chemicals that are made, prostaglandins, bradykinins, picked up by nerve sensors that go up to your brain and tell you you're in pain, and you interpret it like that. How's that? The inflammatory process is pain. When it gets bad enough, it's pain. So how many of you have been given what? Prednisone or cortisol? Or a cortisol or a steroid injection. And why? Well, now you know why. Here's the point. Your adrenal glands are doing the same thing for you in a much more effective way every single second of your life. So, you want to get somebody out of a disease state? You want to reduce symptomology? Give them the adrenal glands they had 20 years ago. Give them the adrenal glands they had 20 years ago. Repair the adrenal glands. So how can you go about reversing disease, symptomology? How can you go about your health concerns until you take out the inflammatory behind the digestive process? And how can you go about it without really resolving the adrenal issues? Meaning what? Well, that's another 20 shows. Again, it's always going to come down to education. But off the top, sleep. If you want a home and that home is on concrete, you already lost it. If you own a home and it hasn't been degaussed, if it hasn't been grounded, if the feng shui or the vastu is off, if it's not pitch black dark at night, if you can't hear the crickets, if it's not in sync with nature, you're losing, and you got to know that. If the bed isn't a superlative experience, if all the things you need to do to get that straight sleep, from eliminating water before you go to bed so you don't get up to urinate, from tending to all the things you need to tend to so you can get a straight sleep without a urination break, and so on and so forth. Unless all the things are done to make sure that that sleep is a superlative sleep, those adrenals are not going to recharge. And it's not a straight five. A straight five is what we compromise with. Lots of people need a straight eight or a straight nine. So use a straight five. You know, people crack me up. People getting a straight five, they're getting up exhausted every day. But I got the straight five. The straight five is where you start. Lots of people will not recharge their bodies through the glandular system unless they get the amount of sleep they need. How are we giving a single number to people with the variety of human beings on this earth? You get as much straight sleep as you need. And if that's 3 hours, it's 3. And if it's 5, it's 5. And if it's 10, it's 10. And that is the way it goes. Now, my point is, with sufficient sleep and everything else that goes with it, a strong adrenal gland will have more than enough cortisol to squirt in any given area to put out the inflammatory fire. Now, there's two. So do you see what's emerging here? If I'm looking at you, I'm looking at your inflammatory profile. And I know unless that inflammatory profile is reckoned with, unless it's dealt with, then in fact, we're not going anywhere. And if I don't look at the systemic you, the holistic you, and all the inflammatory variables, and I don't have a way of determining some resolution, and that's another one I'll get to in a minute. How do you determine it? But let's keep going. Let's talk about the emotional you. So we've got the diet. We've got the adrenals. We've got the emotional you. Before we even get to that, I can just drop this one in without much ado. The biliary system, the organs of excretion. What is the immune system reacting to in the intercellular space? Well, the guts of the cell, yes. The immune system patrols the intercellular space, responding to the guts of the cells squirted out due to breakdowns in the membrane. True. But all the precipitates, all the garbage, not from inside the cell, all the garbage that's being created in the intercellular space is also a concern of the immune system. The immune system are patrolling the streets. So the cell is the house. The walls of the cell are the membrane. What's in the cell is the cytoplasm. What's important inside the cell, or what's important inside the house where the safe is the DNA. And out there in the street is the immune system patrolling, looking. Security guards, detectives, street cops. And the minute they see stuff loitering, stuff being created in between the cells, that creates an inflammatory response. So there are inflammatory responses that are generated from the inside of the cell squirting out, and then there are inflammatory responses in different spaces, meaning in between the cells. And once you've got other causes, well, that's where the organs of excretion come in. You have to understand that your inflammatory profile is proportional to your ability to clear out the intercellular space. So if you clean out your biliary system and you open up your kidneys and you have 2 to 3 bowel movements a day instead of one every other day, and if you're sweating regularly, and if you understand the deep breath, those are major drivers of the excretory process. If you move your lymph. Now, there's much ado about each one of those things. So I'm condensing things into the big picture. But the big picture says, you have a symptom, you have a disease, you have a concern, look at digestion. Look at the organs of excretion. Look at the adrenal glands. Now you're getting it. That's what you're paying for. That's what you ought to be counseled for in your hospitals. And that's the way your holistic practitioners, if they understand what they're doing, are approaching you. But then there's you, and you don't understand. And this is the problem. And one of the problems is the way we market out holistic health. We market out as a tool that you buy and pay for instead of a comprehensive package. And of course, people are going to say, yeah, of course we give comprehensive therapy. You see, what we do is we hit you with everything. Alternative medicine is not burying you with every therapy. It's creating a relationship between you and that defective system in your body and having you evolve relationship with it. What does that mean? It means if somebody tells you, to reduce your inflammatory titer, you need to open up your biliary system. They're going to tell you to go home, learn to do an enema, learn to drink olive oil, and ultimately look at the result in the toilet. They're going to tell you if you're sleeping 5 hours a night, sleep 7 or 8, and then tell me that you bounce up in the morning because that extra 2 straight hours puts you in a completely different level of health. They're going to tell you to look at where your weaknesses are in your physiological systems and develop relationships that you can swear by that are optimizing your health. They're not going to tell you, based on this test, you've got a defect. And based upon a test, I'm going to tell you that that defect is resolved. You can't test people back to health. This is what we do. We do it everywhere. We do it across the board. We give people a test and we say there's a problem. And then we give people a test and we say we fixed the problem. And people don't know what you're talking about. And people want to trust. And people nod their head. And people simply go along. And then at the end of it, people say, but I know got a result yet. And that happens too much. It happens too much across the board. So again, it comes down to how deeply you can attach. The amount of illness I have seen in the last 5 years blows me away. It blows me away. There has been an increase in the levels of chronic illness over the last 5 years. I'm telling you, I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm telling you, something is going on. Something is truly going on. Something is starting to turn on us as a society. Because there's more problems out there than I have ever seen. And I'm talking about in the last 5 years. If you go back 15 years ago, it's like two different galaxies. And you're not going to get your answers unless you sit down and put understanding your health on the A-list. You can't give it up to doctors. You have to understand enough about it to spend more time with it so you can understand what your doctors are trying to do. In a way, the problem's really not the doctors. Allopaths and holistic, that's not where the problem is. The problem is the education isn't getting to the public. And I'm not talking about this faulty, superficial, cliff note version of education. I'm not talking about memorizing stupid facts. On YouTube, we have gazillion hours of facts. That's all you hear. Do this for that. Do that for this. Do this for that. 6 hours of what to do for it, and a person doesn't even understand what a lymph node is. 6 hours of talking about the liver, and you wouldn't know bile from schmile. And that's the problem. We've succumbed to this. We're going to give it to you fast. We're going to tell you what to do because that's all the time you've got to know. And that's all it takes. And it doesn't work because to heal a body is a long-term evolution that requires patience, consistency, fortitude. 60 years don't reverse in 4 months. 60 years of fibrosis between the cells takes time. And on those dark and stormy nights, in those moments where you don't feel so good, along the way, you must have knowledge. And you watch some people do this. I watch people all the time. They go to their MDs, they're disgusted. They go to their holistic practitioners, and then they go to 2 and 3 and 4, and they'll come in and they've seen 5 or 10 different practitioners, plus a slew of medical doctors at a slew of hospitals. And these are what you call the seasoned people. They're seasoned. They're veterans of the system. And they're bitter. They're usually bitter. They're usually very skeptical. And all of you know that type of person. And if that's you, you know that type of you. And what you're not doing is you're not taking a perspective that's going to lead you to the conclusion it's led me. So let's keep going. The biliary system, the organs of excretion, the digestive tract, the adrenals, now the emotions. If we're going to talk emotion, we're going to understand that the body can constrict the organ that suffers from the emotion. Through the nervous system, the organ that holds the emotion that you revolve around. If you're holding anger, don't expect that liver to work. If you're holding sadness, don't expect that heart to work. If you're holding grief, don't expect that lung to work. If you live in fear, expect those kidneys to be damaged. If there's been sexual trauma, keep your eye on the uterus and the ovaries, or the prostate and the penis, the testicle. The nervous system, if you are holding emotion, will shut off the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic flow to the organ. And when that happens, the organ is always working. When you're sleeping, the organ's working. The organ is depolarized. It's cut off from flow. It's cut off from life. And what all of this means is that the nutrition doesn't work. The nutrition to the organ that has a defect doesn't get in there because the psyche's blocking it through the nervous system. The nutrition to the organ of your concern doesn't ever get in because the psyche is blocking that nutrition through the vagus nerve or through the failure of the vagus nerve to engage. Good luck with your antioxidants when your psyche. Good luck in repairing a free radical damaged circulatory system, cardiac system, cardiovascular system, when the nerve supply to that organ has been compressed, turned away because of the psyche. Now there's a profile. How many people go to nutritional offices every single day for problems? How many people walk into a nutritional office each and every day with a problem based upon some sort of health concern that's emotional in its root? And then they're stuffing down tons of free radicals and all sorts of nutrition specific to that organ to help restructure that organ, when the reality is that the psyche looms large in that particular case. And this isn't being designated. It's not being talked about enough because it's intimate, because it's difficult, because it's a place where you want to hide from. So why should a doctor? Why should your medical doctor? Why should your local nutritionist bring it up? Or bring it up and do something about it? Or bring it up in a way where it wakes you up? Or tell you, how's this? Picture this. If you understand the show, you'll really appreciate this. A world where you walk in with heart disease and your cardiologist tells you, Jack, you've been holding something in your heart for 40 years and it's going to kill you if you don't let it go. Picture that. If you understand the show, you understand the power of what I just said. Picture this. Your local nutritionist telling you, I'm not going to give you herbs for this. This is psychologically driven. These herbs, they're not going to do it unless you come to terms with the psychological part. And you know my slant on that. My slant is when the inflammatory process, which is the disease-driving process, is specific to an organ, because someone's holding an emotion, the purpose of the herb then is to cleanse out the problem. You can get to the emotion. Who, me? I'm not holding sadness. Who, me? I'm not angry. Who, me? I don't live in fear. Well, you can start there. And then the purpose of the herb, one of the powers of an herbal program of cleansing, is to take you to the point where that emotional entity comes up, it rises up, and you can dialogue with it. It's what Jesus did in the 40 days in the desert. He fasted himself and he met the devil. I understand that to mean he brought up the downside of himself. And I understand the downside to us all is our devil. And that's what fasting does. Fasting brings the demon up so you can take a look at it, so you can cast it, so you can absolve yourself of it. So the notion between purging the emotion and doing something in the nutritional realm has always been understood. This is very different. It is very different than taking someone with biliary disease or heart disease or an intestinal problem that's emotionally driven and giving them a supplement and telling them this is an anti-inflammatory supplement and it's going to help your condition. Those are two very different nutritional perspectives. And I'm saying we ought to be talking about cleansing to get to the emotional core. So, let's do this now. Let's go onto the website, if you can. Look at picture number 3. It's what I alluded to before. Time Magazine, The Secret Killer. The Surprising Link. Now look at that. This is the 21st century. This came out in 2000-something. The Surprising Link Between Inflammation. Now, Time Magazine has to be held accountable, and it is. So if they say it's a surprising link, it means there are some very credentialed people that were surprised. What are you talking about? How can you, in the 21st century, on the front cover of a reputable magazine like Time, state unequivocally the surprising link between inflammation and disease? That is beyond me. It is beyond me. That's beyond sensationalism. What it does is it illuminates the very issue. We're not getting it. If 10 years ago your medical doctor was surprised between inflammation in your tumor and your disease, we got a real problem. But there it is, the surprising link between inflammation and heart attacks and cancer. And John Q. Public's out there skimming the headline and saying, okay, I got it about inflammation now, but what do I do about my heart disease? And this is the point. But it's there. It's there. If you study, it's there. So it's not news to pathology that the inflammatory process is driving disease. So why are you told consistently, you know what? Listen, Jack, you got this disease here. It's an inherited. Yes, it is inherited. Your father had it because he had the same lifestyle, the same emotional makeup. He suffered from the same variables you suffer from. He passed on the variables to you. And what we're trying to do is short sell the statement I just made and tell people, well, it's genetic. And since we can go into your genetics now and we can test, we've got to look more into the genetics. The more we look into genetics, you see, the more will we be enslaved. The more we look into genetics, the more we will be enslaved. Because genetics are going to be used as a ruse to tell you you can do nothing because it's genetic. Unless Pharmaco figures out a $50 billion plan to go in there and redo your genes, you see? Unless that happens, you're going to be told it's genetic because we tested it and we predicted it and you've got the disease and therefore there's nothing you can do. We don't even throw the epigenetics up. So, genetics. What of genetics? Genetics is simply what gets triggered against the grain of your health when the inflammatory process has gone chronic. Genetics is a secondary issue. Yeah, it's a trigger. It's a trigger triggered by an inflammatory process you didn't understand, that you understand a lot more of now. 1, the GI tract. 2, organs of excretion. 3, we have emotions. 4, we have the adrenal glands. We can just keep going. Structural deficits. Structural deficits, where you break body parts, where you're twisted and torqued. How are you going to get the herbs to it? How are you going to get the tissue to drain? pH. That basically the sum total of everything going on allows a more alkaline interstitial space. bringing down infective titers. The amount of work that's done to bring down the level of infection. Really, it's a health checklist that gets applied to your personal lifestyle that will reduce the inflammatory process as measured by what? No, it's not measured by anything. It's perceived in your experience of you as a lightening, a lessening. It's perceived as a softening. It's perceived as a newly found suppleness. It's perceived by the growth of an inner sense of well-being. The senses determine efficacy of therapy. The senses you cultivate determine efficacy of therapy, not tests that are always half wrong as much as half right, not tests that you never fully understand, but your experience of you. And I cite Eastern medicine as having understood all of this and telling you, grow the electromagnetic field, the prana, grow the chi, more deeply relate to your experience of it as a way and a testimony to how well you're moving the health ball. Listen to the show again, show 264, how inflammation causes disease and why the herbs don't work. StraightTalk.cc. Anybody still confused with health, have health concerns, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.